Well, thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight we're going back to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. We began there this morning looking at the faith of the nation of Israel as they prepared to enter into the promised land and conquer the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter number 3, and we're looking at stepping out by faith. Some wonderful lessons to learn. Joshua chapter 3, let's read verses 14, 15, 16 and 17. Verses 14 to 17, Joshua chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious divine word of God. Lord, we thank you not only do we have a historical record of the events of the past, but Lord, we have a supernatural living record. Lord, the truth of your word that speaks to our lives even this day. Lord, as we know in your word, Hebrews chapter 11, you call us to, Lord, see the great cloud of witnesses that has gone before us and to be inspired and encouraged and challenged by their faith. Lord, help us, we pray now, as we look to your word once again, to be built up and strengthened as we seek to walk by faith in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we come back to the book of Joshua, we see once again the nation of Israel preparing to enter into the promised land. Remember, they had been wandering in the desert for 40 years as a consequence of previously rejecting God's strength and power and promised victory over the enemy. The people were in unbelief. They complained. They even blamed Moses once again, as they could have entered the promised land. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, they entered not. They entered not. They entered not in because of their unbelief. So now 40 years later, a new generation has arisen, but good old Moses was still there, and Joshua and Caleb, and they were now able to enter into the promised land. God said that you are able to take it. And the people were believing, but before they could enter in and conquer the first city of Jericho, they had a trial to overcome. They had a test of faith. And that test of faith was not like the Israelites at the Red Sea, where they had the enemy behind them. This time they had the enemy in front of them. They were on the other side. And I wonder if any of them were thinking, you know, I kind of like this side of the River Jordan. We know some of the tribes, I think at least two of the tribes, asked Moses, can we have the land on this side of the river? And he said, yes, you can. But guess what? You're not getting out of it. You need to cross with us and help us to destroy the cities on the other side. And so there was this test of faith. There was this test of faith. We've just read in these verses that as they crossed over the Red Sea, they crossed very close to the city of Jericho. You see, what would take place at the River Jordan would be a warning to Jericho that their time is up, that they must repent like Rahab of old and put their faith in the living God for salvation. It was a warning to them that God's judgment was coming. But it was also a work in the nation of Israel. They were going to learn to trust God by faith as they crossed over the river, but also to affirm that Joshua was the leader they were to follow. And I say that to say that God has His purposes and His reasons that are beyond our comprehension to why He allows times of trial in your life and mine. Why He allows us to come up against obstacles. Maybe you're facing a River Jordan situation at this moment. Maybe you're in a place where you don't know what to do. But we can claim the promise that the just shall live by faith. The way that you and I can face the trials and the obstacles of life and the way we must face them is by faith alone. Amen? Well, first of all, this morning we learnt that faith is stepping out at God's word. Faith is stepping out at God's word. Faith is not just you and I doing what we think best, but asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And waiting on Him to show us. We see that Joshua waited on the Lord, and the Lord said to what Joshua, this is what I want you to do. You know, I'm mindful about another situation later on. As they entered into the land, they came up against people after people and city after city that they conquered. But a group of people called the Gibeonites heard that the nation of Israel were coming. They were afraid of being destroyed, so they pretended to be foreigners from another land. And they came to the nation of Israel and Joshua, and they said, please don't destroy us, we're foreigners. They pretended, and you might remember the story, that they pretended to be someone else. And when Joshua had agreed with them that they would not be destroyed, then they revealed who they really were. They were in fact living in the promised land. They had in fact tricked Joshua. And the Bible tells us very, very clearly that the reason why the nation of Israel and Joshua were fooled and tricked, and then the Gibeonites would be a nuisance to them for the rest of their history, was because they inquired not at the hand of the Lord. They didn't ask. They didn't ask, Lord, what should we do? Are these people genuine? Are they really telling us the truth? You know, they could have just asked God, and God could have said, no, don't receive them, they're lying to you. So we learn that faith means stepping out at God's word. If you and I are going to walk by faith, we need to ask the Lord. We need to wait on His decision and response. But when He does say, tell us what to do, then faith means stepping out despite what we see. Remember the river which was a raging torrent. If there was any time of the year not to cross over, this was it. And yet as they stood up against the river, who wanted to cross when it was so treacherous? And yet God had said, put your feet in the water and I'll make a way. I bet they didn't know what God would do. But God had told them what to do. So they had to step forward by faith. And as the priests put their feet in the water, the waters miraculously were cut off upstream, and the ground became dry and the way was open. But they had to step out despite their fear, despite what they could see with their eyes. And then thirdly, we learned that faith means stepping out first. We need to understand how God works. His ways are not our ways. And what is the way of faith? When God wants us to step out, He will wait for us. You know, a lot of the times we want it the other way around, don't we? We want God to do the miraculous first, and then we will step out by faith. We want God to miraculously provide for our needs, and then we will surrender our lives to God. Well, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we put God first in our lives, then He promises we will see the miraculous. So faith means stepping out first. First, as we know what God wants us to do, as we step out by faith, we can be sure we will be walking upon miracle ground. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the fourth lesson we're going to learn is that faith follows the steps of others. Now, this is an interesting lesson from the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Faith follows in the steps of others. Did you know that in this life of faith, according to Hebrews 10:38, God is not expecting you to walk a life of faith alone? Faith steps out in the footsteps of others. Notice chapter 3 and verse 17. Chapter 3 and verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Where? Where were they standing? in the midst of Jordan. Now, they did not pass over. They were in the middle of the river. The riverbed had dried up. There was no more flowing water. And there they stood with the Ark of the Covenant. And all Israel, the Bible says, passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Israel. And you see, God had the priests to step out first. He said, oh, you put your feet in the water, you go into the midst of Jordan, the waters had receded, and there they stood. And those who stepped out by faith were an encouragement, were a strengthening to the nation of Israel, and they entered the river and they crossed over to the other side. And what I want us to see this evening, that they followed in the footsteps of those who went before them. Would you agree? The priests went in first. They stood there and waited until everyone had crossed. And we're reminded this evening that if you and I are going to live a life of faith, we need to be sure to follow the examples of faith that God has given us. We need to be sure that and encourage that we are not living the life of faith alone. Amen? We have wonderful examples. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, having looked at chapter 11, as we are doing now, having looked at all these examples of faith, the Bible says, wherefore, in conclusion, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. How can you and I run the Christian race? Well, we need to remember there is a great group of witnesses, people that are lived by faith, people that have run the race, examples such as the Israelites in the book of Joshua, who ran the race, who stepped out by faith. God says, look at them. Look how they stepped out by faith. You can do the same. See, we all have examples to follow. I think about our memory verses, young people, this month, as we learnt about Moses. The Bible said when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so as you face temptations, as you face the world pulling on your heart to pull you into its lusts and desires and temptations, you can be strengthened in your faith by remembering Moses, by remembering the fact that you're not alone in the temptation of the world. And yet, if Moses refused, you can too. You can say no to the world, and then you can choose to live for God. You see, the examples of faith are so important in our lives. That's why it's important to read the Word of God and be encouraged by those who've gone before us. That's why it's important to be in church and learn more about these heroes of the faith. The encouraging truth, isn't it? Encouraging that these people were just like you and I. These people were all sinners, saved by the grace of God, saved by His grace alone, washed in the blood of Christ, and they were not perfect. They faced tragedies in their families. They faced times where they fell into sin. But we see that they made choices of faith that God honors in the Word of God. Examples of faith. Friend, what examples are you looking at? Well, most importantly, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, who are we to look to most of all? The Lord. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the greatest example for us in the Christian life. You see, so often we feel alone at the Jordan River. We think we're the only one facing this difficulty. We think we're the only one that has ever faced difficulties in the entire history of the world. But the reality is, we have such a great cloud of witnesses and the Lord Jesus Christ to look to that we have no excuse to not live by faith and be encouraged. You see, there are many that have gone before us, not only in biblical history, but also in church history. Thank God for those who suffered and died for the faith, that we might have the Word of God in the country of Australia. Amen. That we might have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for those who suffered and were persecuted more than you and I will ever experience. Thank God for those who lived by faith. Friend, if they live by faith, we can too. You see, faith has examples to follow, steps of others to follow in. The Lord Jesus Christ is our greatest example of faith. He died on the cross for our sins, the Bible says. The Bible says He's coming any moment to collect those who have trusted in Him. Let me ask you this evening, has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins and you put your faith in Christ alone for salvation? Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, you and I are all born sinners. We are all sinners by nature and by choice. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, if you and I think we can get to God by our own good works, we're in big trouble. Because of our sins, we've fallen short. There's no way we can live up to His standard. If you look at the Ten Commandments, we've all broken God's laws. And in the court of justice at the throne of God, the holy judge of the universe, when He opens the books of our life and sees the sins of our lives mounted up to the heavens, the only declaration will be guilty as charged. But thank God, though His law demands judgment, thank God His love has provided forgiveness. The Bible tells us that God Himself came to this wicked, sin-cursed earth and was born of a virgin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there on that old rugged cross, He died to pay for your sins and mine. You see, the judge was judged for us. The judge took our punishment. Christ died on the cross and shed His sinless blood. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead. Our sins being paid for, and we can now call upon Him and receive the free gift of eternal life. Friend, when was the time that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Friend, it's not enough to know about Jesus. You must put your faith in Him once and for all for salvation. Remember, the gift of eternal life is just like any other gift. Either you receive it or reject it. If someone is offering a gift to you, all you need to do is accept it. You don't need to ask them every day for that gift. If you have it, you don't need to ask for it again. Amen? Salvation is once and for all. That means the precious blood of Christ, once received, once you call upon the Lord to save you, the Bible says that His blood washes you whiter than snow. You are forgiven. You are justified. You are redeemed. You are bought back. You are made a child of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. But have you trusted in Him? Have you called out to Him in repentance of sin and faith for salvation? Christ, He is the author of our faith, but He is also, Christian, the finisher of our faith. He will lead us all the way to the end, to the very gates of heaven. And we will enter in if we are Christians, if we've trusted Him as Savior. Are we looking to Jesus? Are we looking to Jesus? Let me ask you, young people, who are your heroes this evening? Who are your heroes? We have a great cloud of witnesses, amen? Hebrews chapter 11 alone. We've got the whole New Testament of heroes, the heroes of the faith. Who are you looking to as your heroes? Let me say this, many of these so-called heroes of the world are just liars. They're just pretenders. Do you know what acting is, young people? It's lying. Acting is lying, pretending to be someone who you're not. And usually that guy or that girl that looks so beautiful on the screen and looks huge and large and as you're immersed in this world of Hollywood, doesn't look like that in real life. Amen? Take away all the computer-generated imagery, the 3D graphics, the steroids, take all that junk away, and you're left with a frail person that doesn't even know where they're headed in life. Friend, the actors of the world are make-believers. They're pretending. Then why are you looking to them as your heroes? Friends, the heroes of the Bible, they did not pretend. They were real. The events of the Word of God are real. These miracles took place in history. This is reality, friends. Hollywood is make-believe. Hollywood is pretend. And you will not get any help for your faith in the Christian life by looking to the heroes of Hollywood. Amen? Unrealistic lives. Unrealistic stories. That does nothing except discourage the child of God and causes them to live in a fantasy world without God. Now, we follow in the steps of those who have gone before. Amen? May we follow the steps of faith. And so as the priest went into the middle of the Jordan River, he was showing his people, hey, just follow in their steps and you'll be right. And they took their steps of faith across the river and followed through. If you want to grow in your faith this year, let me encourage you to follow in the steps of those who've gone before. The Apostle Paul could be a witness in Israel. You and I can be a witness in Australia today. Amen. You and I can be a witness for the Lord. Faith. Faith has steps to follow. Fifthly, notice in your Bibles, faith steps must be remembered. Back in the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. Are you still with me this evening? Joshua, chapter number 4. Now, this is interesting what happened. God gave some instructions to the people to help them remember this important event as they crossed into the promised land. Notice chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. What were these stones for? And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And this, if we would go on and read, we would see that they took 12 stones from the riverbed, which had been dried up, and the river had been cut off from upstream by the miraculous hand of God. They took 12 stones over to the other side of the river, and where they were going to camp that night, they built a pillar of 12 stones. What was the purpose of those 12 stones? Well, it would be a pillar of remembrance. Notice verse number 6, Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Verse 7. Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Lord, before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel. What are the next words? Forever. You see, if you and I are going to live by faith, another important truth that we learn this evening is steps of faith must be remembered. When you and I take steps of faith in the past, we need to lay down some times of remembrance. Amen. You see, the nation of Israel were going to enter into the promised land. And one day a generation would be born that wasn't there at the Jordan River. Children and grandchildren would look back, and their parents would tell them about what took place, but they themselves, they weren't there. They weren't alive yet. And this pillar of stones would help them to remember. And the parents, the older generation would say, hey, look in Gilgal, where you camped that night, and look at the pillar of stones. Those stones were taken from the river. And that wouldn't be impossible to do if the river is flowing. And yet there they would stand as a testimony, as a point of remembrance and encouragement in the faithfulness of God for all generations. And you see, God's will for our lives, yes, is to walk by faith and to take steps of faith. But He also wants us to mark down and remember the times that He miraculously did a work in our lives. Friend, as you have lived the Christian life, let me ask you, are there any pillars, are there any stones of remembrance that you have laid down? Friends, these are important for us to remember. You ought to have in your heart and in your memory times where God supernaturally and miraculously delivered you and blessed you. You know, as I've said in the past, it's good for us as adults to write them down because we're forgetful. You know, if you don't have a spiritual journal, I believe that you're missing out on much in the Christian life. If God speaks to you through His Word, how are you going to remember that truth by the end of the day? I certainly don't. When God speaks to me in my quiet time, if I don't write it down, much of what He told me, I'll forget. And that's me at my age. And so if we're not writing things down, if we're not taking notes in our journal that we can write down and look at the end of the day, I believe we're missing out. Especially when you pray about a need and God shows you in His Word, and then you write that down in your spiritual journal. I've got many, many journals with highlighted verses where God answered and God confirmed and God miraculously delivered. Pillars of truth. And friends, that's what you and I need to do. We need to lay down some stones, if you will. Stones in our lives where we know God delivered us. We know that God did the miraculous. And we not only know that for ourselves, but we tell the generation to come. See, parents, our children need to see those pillars of faith in our lives. Amen. They need to see them. Look, if they're not there, then start laying them down by living by faith. Amen. Start trusting in God. Start allowing Him to do the miraculous in your life by stepping out by faith. You see, faith steps must be remembered. Faith steps must be remembered. And by experience, you know, there have been times that God has tested me in the same area which He has tried me in the past. And it's interesting to see how often we become afraid. So interesting to see how often we doubt God in the very same areas that we have trusted Him in the past. And it's interesting why we do that, and I dare say it's because so often we forget. We forget what He has done in the past, so therefore we don't trust in Him for the future. And if you and I would simply have pillars of remembrance, perhaps Bible verses on the wall, or a journal with wonderful blessings in our hand, or anything that will cause us to remember God's faithfulness, I dare say when that next trial of faith will come, you and I will remember and won't doubt the faithfulness of God. You see, pillars of remembrance are important. They're important for us as adults. They're important for our children as they walk in faith as Christians. Pillars of faith. Faith steps must be remembered. Would you agree with me this evening that God didn't want the nation of Israel to forget this? Now, it would be one in a multitude of miraculous deliverances, but He never wanted them to forget this event. Don't forget, amen, when God blesses. Don't forget and become hardened in your heart. You know, the great deliverance of the Red Sea was very quickly forgotten, wasn't it? The nation of Israel began to get hungry, they got thirsty, and then they murmured and complained, and they said to Moses, "Have you brought us out here in the wilderness to die? It would be better if we went back to Egypt." And they forgot about the Red Sea. They forgot about God's mighty power and provision. And that's how quickly and easily you and I forget when we are in a time of trial. Let me encourage you to do what you need to do, to lay down some pillars. Sometimes it's a matter of writing things down. Sometimes we ought to frame some photos and put them up on the wall of blessings of God. Amen. Our home should be surrounded with truths of God and that which will cause us to remember His faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful steps must be remembered. Can you name this evening 12 stones of faith? 12 things that God has done in your life. I trust you can. If you can't, let me encourage you this week to sit down and pray and just ask the Lord and say, "Lord, what have you done in my past? What can I remember? Lord, what blessings?" And I dare say you'll have more than 12, amen? I dare say you'll have much more. And just stick it on the fridge, amen? And when you're discouraged, go to the fridge. Don't open the fridge, but go to the fridge and look at those blessings on the front and be encouraged in your faith. That, hey, if God can help you through the Jordan River times of the past, He can help you with what you're experiencing in the present. That'll be an encouragement for your children. Lastly, not only should faith steps be remembered, but steps of faith lead to greater faith. Let's close in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 30. steps of faith in the present lead to greater steps of faith in the future. Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. As the nation of Israel passed clean over the River Jordan, notice verse 30, the Bible says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now that is our next message after Father's Day, on the victory they experienced at the city of Jericho. You see, Jordan was the test. And as they passed through, God was preparing them for greater battles ahead. Can you see that this evening? Greater battles ahead, but they needed to trust the Lord now in order to overcome what was ahead. And God was preparing them. And we see this evening that it's so important to live by faith now because there'll be greater challenges ahead. We need to trust in God now for the future. We need to trust in God and learn the lessons of today so that we can walk by faith tomorrow. You see, the nation of Israel, if you think about it for a moment, there they were marching around the city of Jericho 7 times, 7 days, and they were marching around the city. The walls of Jericho were higher and wider than any city that they had come up against. They were impregnable, they were impossible to break down, and the only weapons they had were trumpets. The only soldiers they had were few compared to those in Jericho. But God commanded them to encircle the city, to blow the trumpets, and the walls came crumbling down. You see, back in Egypt, in the wilderness, they didn't have the faith they needed. So God led them along. 40 years later, they arrived at Jordan, a test of faith. As they crossed, immediately, there was a battle ahead. Isn't that just like the Christian life? Friends, we are in a spiritual warfare. The Jordan River, by the way, in the Bible, sometimes in the hymns, it's depicted as crossing over into the promised land of heaven. But biblically speaking, crossing the River Jordan is not entering into heaven. It's entering into the spiritual warfare of the Christian life. It is an act of faith in God to have victory in the battles ahead. That's what the River Jordan represents. When we get to heaven, there will be no battles, amen. There will be no sin to defeat. There will be no temptations to conquer. There will be no trials. But in the life, the Christian life, we need to live by faith. And as the Lord leads us through one period of faith, test of faith, God is preparing us for greater tests in the future, greater trials in the future. And as we trust in Him, we will see our faith grow. Let me encourage you to step out by faith. How do we do that? Well, we step out by faith when we step out at God's Word, first of all. We walk by faith when we step out despite what we see. We walk by faith when we step out first and expect God to bless. We walk by faith when we follow in the steps of others who have lived by faith. We walk by faith when we mark down in remembrance the times that God blessed and miraculously worked in our lives in the past. And we walk by faith today in order for us to have greater faith in the future. That's what we learn from the Jordan River experience of the nation of Israel. Let me encourage you to live by faith this week. And that is God's will, that is God's plan, and that means He will help us to do that if you simply ask Him to.